Today's reading is John chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. That's John 20, 19 to 31. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now, Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name.
Now I want you to think back to the middle of January with me, to the first time that you heard about coronavirus. I wonder if you can remember what you thought of it, how much you really believed in it. It was very easy, wasn't it, to think that it's something that is over there, and it can't really get as bad as they're saying, can it? It's not really going to impact my life, is it? And yet the more that we read about it, the more that the media showed us what was happening, the more we were forced to believe in it, and the more we realised that this has to change our lives. And well, this here is evidence of that, isn't it? The fact that you are at home, I am here, we're not meeting together in our church building. That is evidence of just one way that this virus has had to change how we live. Well, this morning we're going to think about not something, but someone who we can believe in, we should believe in, and who should then change our lives. Let me set the scene for you. Jesus has died on the cross. He was buried in a tomb, and then some of his friends found that his body was missing. It wasn't there in the tomb. And then Jesus appeared to a woman named Mary, and she has gone to tell his disciples that Jesus is alive. He's come back to life. He has defeated death and he is now alive. And yet now we find his disciples in a locked room. They are scared. Okay, Mary has presumably told them, and yet it hasn't changed anything. They don't look particularly excited about this, but they are scared for their lives. They have locked themselves in this room because they don't know what the Jews are going to do to them. They killed Jesus. Will they kill us next? Maybe you know how they feel. Maybe you know what it is like to be in a locked room, scared. Scared of what might happen to you. Scared of what might happen to others who you love. Well, if that is you this morning, then I want you to feel what happens next with the disciples, because there is some good news coming for you. There they were. They were in this locked room. They didn't know what to do. They saw Jesus die. They saw those nails go through his hands. They saw the life drain from his body. He was dead, all right. And now they've been told he's alive, but they just don't know what to do. And so here they are, scared in this room, when suddenly Jesus appears. He's just standing there right in front of them. The one that was dead is now there in this room with them. And he's not a ghost. He is a real bodily person. And he says to them four words. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. See, he says it twice. And it's the second time that he says it that we realise that this isn't just a greeting. This isn't just a polite way of saying hello. Although it was that. It was often used that. Shalom is the Hebrew. But Jesus isn't simply saying hello. He's not simply being polite and greeting them. No, Jesus is standing in front of them and he says, peace be with you. He says, I can bring you peace. He's promised this before. In fact, it was promised before he was even born that he would be the Prince of Peace. Angels told shepherds out in the field when he was born that this baby would bring peace. Jesus has promised peace before, and now he's standing there and he says, peace be with you. In 1938, Britain was preparing for war. They really thought that war was about to break out, and they were getting ready for it. They were scared. Apparently Westminster Cathedral was packed, or Westminster Abbey, sorry, was packed with people on their knees praying. And right at the last possible chance to avoid war, Neville Chamberlain, the then Prime Minister of Britain, went, and he managed to secure a non-aggression pact with Germany and with other countries. And he came back with this piece of paper saying, I have secured peace, peace for our time, he said. And the scenes were jubilant. They were triumphant. It was pouring with rain, but people flooded out onto the streets in celebration because Chamberlain had brought peace. They were chanting his name. Well, sadly, as we know, less than a year later, war did come. And we all know the consequences of that. Chamberlain promised peace, but sadly, it failed. Peace didn't last. It didn't even last a year. How do we know that Jesus' promise of peace isn't like that? How do we know that his peace that he is promising will last? That it's not just going to be here and then gone like that? Well, between the two times that Jesus said, peace be with you, he did something. He held out his hands and he showed them his side. Why? Why would he do that? Well, you see, these weren't normal hands. This wasn't a normal side. No. These were nail-pierced hands. These were hands that had nails hammered through them. Not just nails that you would hang a picture up with. No, more like stakes. They were hammered through his hands. And then his hands on those nails held the weight of his dying body until there was no life left in it. This was a side that had a spear plunged into it. And so that his blood and water gushed out, and any hope of any kind of revival vanishing with it. And Jesus stood there in front of his disciples and he said, "You see these hands? See my side? These were pierced to bring you peace. It is because of these holes that I can bring you peace. Peace that will last. Peace for eternity. Peace that is guaranteed." You see, as Jesus was hanging there on the cross, he said three words. He said, "It is finished." And he wasn't talking about the fact that he was about to die, but he was saying, "This is what I plan to do, and I have accomplished what I set out to do." And you see, these words that Jesus now says, "Peace be with you," go with it is finished. It is because it is finished, because Jesus has accomplished what he planned to do, because through that he has revealed it to us, that we can now have peace. Jesus says, "Peace be with you." What is peace exactly? What is Jesus talking about? Is it simply peace from war, like what Chamberlain thought he was bringing? Is it like the peace that Daddy Bear wants in that book, children's book, Peace at Last, where he just wants a bit of peace and quiet? He wants some rest. He wants to sleep. Is that what Jesus is talking about? We use peace in all different ways, don't we? And it's not that it's not any of those things. Oh, but it is so much more than those things. You see, Jesus here is talking about life at its best. He is talking about well-being in its fullest sense, not just a stress-free life, but he is talking about full well-being. He is talking about life as it was originally intended, as it was originally designed to be. He is talking about peace with God. For those that don't have peace, that don't know him, then that means we are currently enemies with God. We are not at peace with him. And Jesus says, "I can bring you peace. I can bring you peace with God. You see, I have died to bring you peace. I have died in your place so that when you face God, you don't have to. You don't have to be punished because I was punished on your behalf. And because of that, I can bring you peace," Jesus says. And that doesn't mean that life will be problem-free. He's not promising a life free of trouble. In fact, he said, one of the other times he promised peace, he said, there will still be trouble. But even in that trouble, he can give us peace. Peace in it, because he is with us. He is there, helping us through those times of trouble. If you're in that locked house at home and you are scared, well, Jesus says, I can bring you peace. I can bring you peace now, and one day I will bring full peace where life really will be at its best, where everything bad is gone. There is nothing sad anymore. Jesus says, peace be with you. When Chamberlain returned with this news of peace, he was summoned to the Buckingham Palace to see the king, and the king took him out onto that royal balcony. And the king then stood back into the shadows and let Chamberlain take the applause. You see, the crowds were triumphant. They were chanting his name. It was this news that peace was coming, so they thought, caused them to celebrate. And we see that here in our passage as well, don't we? It says the disciples were overjoyed. They were overjoyed because Jesus was alive. He was there in front of them. And he was standing there offering them peace. It was as if they were chanting his name, Jesus, Jesus. They were overjoyed. And we can be too. Because Jesus stands in front of us. Yes, we can't see him. But he is still alive. And he stands in front of you and says, peace be with you. Will you accept my peace? Well, how is it exactly that we accept it, that we have Jesus' peace? Well, let's have a look at a man named Thomas. You see, Thomas was one of Jesus' close disciples, one of his 12 disciples. But for some reason, when Jesus appeared to his disciples, Thomas wasn't there. Maybe he was out on his daily exercise. But he wasn't there. And so when he returned, the disciples said to him, Thomas, we've seen Jesus. He is alive. Thomas said, No, I don't believe you. I saw him die. I saw those nails go through his hands. He's dead. You're fooling yourselves. It's the grief talking. I don't believe you. Dead people don't come back to life. Unless I see the holes in his hands and in his side, unless I can put my finger into them, I won't believe. I refuse to believe. You see, Thomas was a skeptic. He doubted that Jesus really could come back to life. And maybe that's you. Maybe you're happy to accept lots of the things that the Bible teaches, but you say no. No, dead people don't come back to life. There is no way that Jesus could have come back to life, that he could have risen again, as it's claimed. Well, if that's you, then Thomas would have agreed with you. But see what happens next. You see, 8 days later, there they are, again in this locked room. Still, nothing has changed. Even though they've seen Jesus, they're still there in this locked room, still in trouble. And suddenly, Jesus appears to them again. And this time, he says for the third time now, he says, "Peace be with you." And then he turns to Thomas. And see his gentleness with Thomas. He comes, you see, to give Thomas his own personal viewing. He knows what Thomas said. He knows that Thomas was sceptical. And he turns to Thomas and he says, "Thomas, come. Come, see my hands and my side. Come and put your finger in the holes and your hand into the hole in my side. Thomas, stop doubting, but believe. Stop doubting, but believe." You see, there Thomas was. He doubted. But now, he has Jesus stood in front of him. He has the evidence right there. And Jesus says to him, "Thomas, this peace can be yours too, if only you will believe." Will you believe, Thomas? And will Thomas can't not believe, can he? He says, "My Lord and my God. My Lord and my God." He sees Jesus there in front of him. The evidence is there. And he realizes that Jesus is alive. And he has to accept Jesus, not just as Lord and God, but as his Lord and God. Thomas believes. And Jesus then says, "Thomas, you have believed because you have seen. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. They will be blessed." And John then says, this is why he has written these things down. This is why we have this book in the Bible. John says, "I have written these things so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." John says, this is why I've written. So that even though you can't see, you can still believe. We can't see COVID-19. It's invisible. But because of the media reporting it to us, because of the effects that it has, we can still believe in it. And you see, even though we can't share Thomas's experience, we can still share his faith. So will you believe? Will you have faith? You see, in order to do that, all we have to do is respond as Thomas did and say, "Jesus, you are my Lord and my God." Don't be a skeptic. Don't doubt anymore. But believe. And Jesus promises that when we do, he will give you peace. A peace that will last. Peace for eternity. When you cry out to him as your Lord and your God. Sarah did this. Sarah had a troubled life. But she turned to Jesus and accepted him as her Lord and Saviour. And her troubles haven't gone away, but she has never looked back on that. decision. She has never regretted it for one minute. Because even though she still has troubles, in that time she knows that Jesus is with her and he gives her a peace. He enables her to deal with her problems. And he can do that for you too. If you have already accepted Jesus as your Lord and as your God, if you know that he is the Christ, the Son of God, then will you continue believing? That is also why John has written, so that we may continue to believe. And then will you join in with him on his mission? Have a look in verse 21. Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And then he gives his Holy Spirit to us. You see, he wants us to join in with him on his mission. This isn't our own mission, but he invites you, he calls you to join him on his mission. You see, we have such amazing news, don't we? News that Jesus is alive and that he can bring peace. And so, just as God the Father sent God the Son, so God the Son then gives you his Holy Spirit and sends you out to join on his mission. So won't you do that? Won't you do that this week? Won't you use the time that you have at the moment to get in touch with those that really need this news of peace? Won't you seek to share this news with those that are struggling at the moment, with those that you're looking after, that you're caring for? That Jesus can give them peace, even in their time of trouble. Peace be with you, Jesus said. Jesus really can bring that peace. He can bring it to all who believe. So won't you believe, won't you respond like Thomas and accept Jesus as your Lord and your God? You can do that today. You can do that in your locked room. If you've never done that and you would like to, then do get in touch with one of the elders afterwards, and they would love to talk to you further. Jesus can bring peace. So won't you believe and accept him as your Lord and your God? We're going to sing now. We're going to sing about this news that God so loved his world that he gave his Son so that we may have life in him, so that we may have peace. Please do join in with us at home. We won't be able to hear you, so don't be embarrassed. But it'd be lovely to sing this together.